is the founder and executive director of Independent Diplomat, which is a diplomatic advisory group. He's been speaking to Monocle's Rhys James.
It's a common interest in something, whether it's trade, security, a particular problem you both want to solve. Sometimes it starts from a personal relationship, but there usually has to be behind it an overlap in what both countries want.
We've heard over the past week or so that this kind of close relationship between Israel and India. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't, because Israel is going all out to build and amplify its trade relations all over the world at the moment. It's kind of made a political choice not to make progress with the peace process to end the occupation of the Palestinian territories. And it's trying to reach out to lots of countries to say, we can be friends with you anyway. We don't want to be isolated. It's trying to reduce its international isolation. So it's a concerted effort. The Israelis have talked about it quite openly.
And often the kind of relationship is very much reliant on a shared language. We see, for example, the French with French Africa and France, particularly in Mali, or Britain and the United States, Canada, Australia. How important is a shared language when it comes to developing an important or natural bilateral relationship?
Well, the Brits have a natural relationship, of course, with the Commonwealth. It's a post-imperial thing, and Anglophone Africa, the French likewise with the Francophonie in Africa. So it actually stems in a way more from the colonial history of those countries and their deep ties thanks to that imperial episode. Common language matters less than you might think. I mean, the Brits overstate their relationship with the United States very exaggeratedly, you know, calling it the special relationship, common culture, all that kind of stuff. It certainly doesn't feel that way from the United States. And the Germans, for instance, have an exceptionally close relationship with the US too, which has obviously got nothing to do with language.
So what do you think, other than the fact that, you know, they have a common interest, maybe at trade, what other aspects are involved when it comes to forging an important relationship?
Well, conventionally, countries think about their interests in a couple of ways. They think about trade, they think about security, they think about cultural exchange. Those are kind of the three main elements, with probably security at the top of that list. So if they identify a common security interest, i.e. a common threat that they both mind about, a benefit from closer cooperation to meet that threat. So Australia, for instance, is thickening its defence ties with Japan because of growing concern about Chinese expansionism in the region, for instance. Once they've identified a common threat and a common interest, that's the starting place. But trade is obviously also a very big one. Those tend to be the orthodox sort of understanding of what a country's interests might be. It's interesting because they're kind of constructions. They're not necessarily what the people of that country really, really want. But that's the way diplomacy still works in most of the world.
And is there a relationship between a pair of countries that surprises you or you find particularly interesting?
Well, there's lots, actually. I mean, lots of curious little relationships. One I was thinking about was the Marshall Islands, which is a tiny archipelago of islands in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, has a very close relationship with the United States, for instance. But over lots of things, over defence, there is a missile testing station in the Marshall Islands. That's partly because of its geographic location. But also, interestingly, they had a very close relationship with the Obama administration over climate change, where the Obama administration wanted a solid, forceful result from the Paris negotiations for the UN agreement on climate. And so did the Marshall Islands. The Obama administration, because I think there was a deep concern about climate change in the administration, and the Marshall Islands because their islands are actually under threat from sea level rise as a result of climate change. So it's a mouse and an elephant, which you wouldn't really expect. And the Marshall Islands ended up having really quite extraordinary access to the White House during that period.
I'll flip that question on its head. Are there countries which you think perhaps should be getting along that don't and have actually kind of quite poor international relations?
There are countries that certainly punch under their weight, rather, diplomatically, that don't have the quality of relationships they should have. I often think Pakistan, for instance, India to an extent too, because they let their animosity between them propel much of their other relationships. So who is friendly to the other determines the relationship with the other one in that contest. And that's a bit self-defeating for both of them. And so they have rather less good relations with their neighbours, with the region, and indeed internationally, because they're so obsessed by that singular dispute.
And that was